my pleasure to welcome on Dana Ferguson, the Minnesota Capitol correspondent for Farm News Services. She's kind enough today to take some time to talk about the beginning of the special session. How long will it last? We shall find out. Dana, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. How many special sessions does this make for you now?
Oh, my goodness. I've only been around here for, I think, 3 years now covering the Minnesota legislature, and I want to say this is maybe the 10th. And, Oh, boy, they're not so special any longer.
Yeah, special is the wrong term. It's just a session. It's just a session at this point. We'll start with one of the reasons we were brought into session. Once again, Governor Walz wants to extend his emergency powers. I'm not sure how many more months he wants to go. For sure, he wants one more month at least. It sounds like there is some question of whether he'll take it further past that. But he did want to do that. With that, automatically triggered the special session. Did that vote already happen today? Did the special session get did his emergency powers get extended as well?
They did get extended, and this morning the Executive Council approved 30 more days of this. The House came in and brought up a motion to consider ending them. I'm sure you already know this, but both chambers have to essentially vote to veto an extension, and they didn't take up the motion that would have triggered that veto. So it looks like another 30 months are on the way. We've heard some different opinions from legislative leaders today regarding when they think that the emergency ought to end. Speaker Melissa Hortman today said the state should take advantage of the federal funding that's available for nutrition assistance. That could come in through September. So she was saying potentially through the end of July, early August, it could end. We heard from Republicans at the Capitol that they'd like it to end much sooner. They have wanted it to end for months now, so that's not a big surprise. But at least 30 more days is what we know.
And there is, you bring up a very good point. There's some nuances with federal funds that, you know, and on both sides. I mean, the Republicans want to have some say in how that money is spent, especially when it comes to small business relief, landlord relief as well. But if the emergency powers are in place, Walz has a lot of the drive, you know, the steering wheel in that case. And so that's part of the question as well, correct?
It is. I think we hear from both sides that they really want to be involved in determining how the state is going to handle COVID and how the state is going to come out of the pandemic, who gets the most financial assistance, what that looks like. They have different ideas about it, and they would both very much like to be driving the car on that. But at this point, it's still quite a bit in the governor's lap in terms of how at least some of that federal funding is going to the leaders agreed to give him a decent chunk of that, but to take on a separate pool of money on their own and decide through the budget writing process what that might look like. So everybody wants to be in control at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously because this is the real power time, because you're at a point now where what you get is there was a lot of budget negotiation. So let's actually go back a little bit. The regular session ended. You basically had these work groups, these committee hearings of the Senate leaders and the House leaders. And it was a real mixed bag. Some of these went well. We actually had Jamie Becker Finn on, who was talking about some of the things on her committee that we had her on last week, that her committee went great, that the judicial reform, they had really, there was a lot of agreement. They minor speed bumps, things seemed to go pretty well. There's a lot that are not. Talk a little bit about that, because that seems to be where we're going to get into the most contention now that we're into the special session. It's some of these committees that basically really kind of derailed themselves because of demands, mostly policy demands that were coming in from the Republicans in the Senate.
That's right. There were a few where there were just these very hard-fought positions that were never going to go anywhere in divided government. I'm thinking about the clean cars policy and the environmental budget, and they have Republican leaders said today that that's something they're going to have to fight for out on the campaign trail before those rules would take effect in 2024. School choice legislation around vouchers for private schools, that again, Democrats had said since the beginning of this year that they would never consider. But as recently as last week, we heard the Republican chair of the working group say this has got to be in the education budget. And legislative leaders came in and said, listen, you all knew that this was going to be hard. We have to start taking some of these things out so that we can actually get things done. And so they spent the entire weekend ridding themselves of some of the controversial policy measures in these budgets. And it seems like they're starting to make progress. We heard today that there's a deal on the housing budget, along with the eviction moratorium. That had been debated for months, and there were just so many sticking points, but that's come through, and they're hoping to pass it this week. Just very recently, we saw some news about a tax budget coming through. Speaker Hortman today said transportation and education, K-12, are looking pretty close, so things are coming together. It seems like the public safety and judiciary bill will be one of the last ones to come just because there's so much in it. But folks are feeling pretty optimistic that they will get something done.
Well, and it should be mentioned, as Jamie Becker Finn, the representative, mentioned, the reason why those are two are combined, public safety, judiciary, those because in the Senate, the way the committees are set up, that's why they're combined. But it sounds like most of that's on the public safety side. But do you mind if we go back? Because I want to go back to some things you just said there, and I just want to clarify. So did you get some word that Ingebrigtsen, because once again, on the Environmental Committee, Bill Ingebrigtsen, the Senate leader, Republican, he brought in clean cars, which once again does not have anything to do with his environmental bill. This is a completely separate issue that is has been the courts ruled is not part of the legislative purview. He said that unless the clean car rule, which was basically that we're going to sell electric cars, more electric cars in Minnesota. That's all this rule is we're going to try to sell more electric cars in Minnesota. That unless those rules are removed, that he was going to basically torpedo the entire environmental bill, which was kind of goofy because considering most of the state parks, which would be closed immediately with that move, are in Republican rural areas and they need that money. But he seemed to be sticking his heels in the ground. You're kind of getting me the impression that in the Republican leadership might have gone to Ingebrigtsen and said, okay, that's not going to happen.
I can't confirm that they had a conversation about it, but Senator Gazelka today said that that is out at this point. I don't know that Senator Ingebrigtsen is going to continue with the push and be really dug in on wanting to at least delay the clean car standards. But Gazelka today said that they acknowledge that 2024 is when that rule is going to take effect, and before that we'll have an election. So if that's going to be something voters feel really strongly about, they can change up leadership here at the Capitol, but it doesn't look like it's going to be in the budget at this point.
Vouchers, that was another one that was interesting because it was kind of surreal to a point last week that you had the voucher people screaming, oh, we want vouchers for 8,000 kids. But at the same time, they had to shut down St. Paul schools, Minneapolis schools, sounded like some outstate schools as well because of the heat issue, which affected 70,000 kids. And so, you know, it kind of the question became priorities is that, okay, is the vouchers really the big priority or for 8,000 kids or 70,000 kids that apparently don't have schools that are functionable? You can't have kids learning in a sauna, especially at the end of the year when they're taking finals and tests in that sort of situation. So I don't know if that played a role there, but, you know, is there, I mean, the Democrats are, I'm pretty sure the DFL is not going to cave. The voucher program is not something anyone on the DFL I've talked to, period, has had any appetite at approaching. So that's sounding like, though, the Republicans might put that aside as well?
I think so. And I think they understood that it was a non-starter with the DFL from the beginning of the year. And it seems like a passion project for Senator Chamberlain. He's been pushing it for several years in different ways. He was at the Capitol last week, leading a group of school choice advocates to a press conference where the governor was talking about budget negotiations, and they sort of swarmed around him and were trying to make it look as though he was a supporter of school choice, but he has vocally opposed it and said it just is not going to happen. So there might be chairs who are really passionate about these policy provisions they're bringing forward, but based on what we're hearing from the legislative leaders, those are just going to have to go, because at some point, anything that can't get agreed to in the divided legislature isn't going to be able to cut it, and they just want to get a budget done and get out of here.
And you're right, Michelle's mentioned Benson, Michelle Benson, Senator Benson, the Republicans, also been big on that one as well. You're right. There was an agreement to appoint on, and this is a mess. I mean, obviously with the pandemic, what happened. I mean, we got to figure out how we deal with the evictions issue. Landlords do have rights. Renters do have rights. It does sound like, and this was one thing that actually gave me a little, I was okay with. There did seem to be compromise on both sides on that agreement when it came down, when we started hearing the details that were coming out of that bill.
That's correct. And today, talking to the chairs of the working groups in either chamber, they will be the first to tell you they had to give some things up, and they're struggling with it a little bit, but they were able to reach an agreement. They both were very proud of it and excited about it, confident that it is something they can pass out of both chambers. So there's going to be a scaled phase out of the eviction moratorium under the proposal. They're going after the renters who had just broken provisions of their lease first. So people who maybe were causing damage or doing things that they weren't supposed to. And then at the end, sort of a couple of months later, and after giving folks a chance to apply for rent assistance, they're going to ultimately let people know, hey, you might get evicted if you haven't been paying rent. But trying to set out a lot of steps.
Yeah.
So that folks don't get completely surprised or evicted before having an option to get some assistance and potentially stay where they are.
And that was, and I got to tell the truth, I like how they did that, because they can't just, that was kind of the thing, was either everyone gets thrown out the first day or no one gets thrown out. And I said, okay, that's not going to work. You got to find something. That was good. So I'm going to ask you, if there is a budget, if any of these bills doesn't get passed, if there's one that you are seeing yourself as you're covering this, wow, these guys are entrenched, they are not moving, is there any that's going to come down that even the leadership is not going to be able to budge the committee chairs?
After the past few days, assuming the legislative leaders are living up to their word, I think they're all going to get through. I think public safety and judiciary might be tough just because there's a lot in it, and it will be difficult for them to get through all of it within 7 to 10 days, which is the time frame they've said they want to stick to. The other two, if the chairs do dig in and stick with the ultimatums they've given, environment could be tricky, education could be tricky, but we've heard today that they're getting closer now that they're starting to jettison some of the controversial stuff. So maybe silly of me, but I'm feeling optimistic that they will all get done. Just some of them might take a little bit more time because they're larger bills and there's just more to them.
Well, and as you have seen, what happens is when you start giving, and bills are getting compromised, and people, the environmental bill was never going to get compromised. Oh, they did? That does have a tendency of putting pressure on these holdout committees to say, okay, we got, 20 out of 21 done. We need your committee done. And then there is that pressure. And I think at that point, just to get it done so that there's nothing hanging over the legislature, there is that pressure and things kind of get accomplished. You guys have seen that it kind of, once it starts clearing out, it clears out fairly quickly.
Yeah, and we're starting to see that happen. It's been a little bit difficult over the past 3 to 4 weeks just because these groups are meeting in secret.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of access to the work that they're doing. So when they come out with a spreadsheet or with the bill language, we haven't been privy to what's going on in these conversations. Some of it might be new. But there were 4 finished at the beginning of the day today, and we're already starting to hear about agreements coming through and bills getting wrapped up. So the dominoes are starting to fall. it's all looking like it's going to get done. And all the leaders say that they have no intention of going into post-June 30th territory, and they don't want to shut down. So,
and you had a tweet earlier today. Speaker Hortman said she's, her impression is this is not going to be one of those running down the hall at, you know, 11 o'clock on the 30th trying to get votes right. done, that this is probably going to wrap up with a few days before the end of June, correct?
That's correct. Yep. They're hoping to get it done. We heard both leaders today say 10 days is the target. So maybe midweek next week we're done.
Hopefully, hopefully. Then you can enjoy some summertime until the next special
session. Wouldn't that be nice?
You can have the 4th. The next, if they do extend the emergency powers, that will be mid-July. So you get a few weeks.
Goodness.
There you go. I'm going to make sure I post the story from the Duluth News Tribune that you have out on this today. Dana Ferguson, once again, Minnesota Capitol correspondent for the Forum News Service. Dana, by all means, anytime you want, come on back. Please do.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.